At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Go into the...
The Pat Kenny Show.
We use them less because it takes longer to log in. I deleted the app on my phone and it was one of the best things. Still, now this morning we are continuing our series, Charged, where we look at all aspects of EVs on our roads and in our lives, whether in private cars or on public transport. So far, we've looked at lithium-ion batteries and how to use them safely. We looked at the issue of older multi-story car parks, which may have to be reinforced to bear the additional weight of EVs. But the future is undoubtedly electric. Many people who've bought EVs do almost all of their charging at home overnight. And as electricity prices continue to fall, they can make considerable savings compared to petrol or diesel at the pump. And most people's journeys are less than 40 kilometres a day, so range anxiety is not a problem. However, for those with higher mileage demands, they are concerned about range anxiety. Will I find a public charger? Will it be occupied? Will it be a fast charger so I can be on my way in 20 minutes after a quick coffee? Relieving that anxiety will depend on a comprehensive network of fast chargers, not just on the motorways, but in local spots where people are used to refueling. So, what are we doing and how far have we got? Well, I'm joined now by transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC, Conor Falkland. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
You've been looking at this issue.
Yeah, look, I agree with the introduction. EVs are the future. They are coming. We may have grumbles about the technology. We may complain about the price of electricity, but they're coming. In the same way as, you know, reference your previous item, we're not going to uninvent smartphones. They're here with us. And I think likewise, EVs are the future. So in Ireland, how are we doing? Well, we're struggling a little bit. EV sales dipped in the first quarter this year. There's still only about, pure battery is still only less than 20% of new car sales. Government had a target of nearly a million EVs on the road by 2030. Not going to get within an ass's roar of that target.
They speak out of two sides of their mouths, don't they, though? Because they're encouraging people to put solar panels on their roof, which you could use to charge your electric car.
Yeah.
And then they reduce the grants for EVs so that...
Well, I agree with you, and, you know, conspiracy theories and stuff, but I think it's poor PR for EVs collectively when government pulls manoeuvres like that. So, for example, the tax privileges being enjoyed by EVs were reduced slightly this year. That seemed to have a disproportionate effect on sales. Even the privileged toll rate that they were being charged, you know, it disappeared. So it feels as if the supports are slightly that the government is tugging at the carpet under your feet with one hand.
I've always maintained that the best way to get EVs on the roads is to encourage companies to supply cars to people who are entitled to company cars and only supply EVs where it's appropriate with range and so on, because then you will have in 3 years a very vibrant second-hand market.
And you need that. And governments sort of were doing that with the BIK reductions for pure EVs. But again, those tax privileges are being eroded. And the other thing, as you said in the introduction, you know, for 90% of users, you and me and, you know, the people we know, an EV is an ideal solution. The vast majority of our journeys will be under 40 kilometres. You know, but how willing are you to buy a car? Even if you never drive from Dublin to Cork, you're probably unwilling to buy a car that can't get there or that can't get there and back. So for people who use the public charging network, and, you know, EV evangelists will give out to me for saying this, but it remains true that you need to be to some degree intrepid. It's, you know, user pull rather than push. You have to seek out, and to some degree, that's an overstatement to say it's a lifestyle choice. But if you're going on a long journey with an EV, that is not as reassuring. You're going to be a little bit more nervous from start to finish than if you're just buying diesel. And unfortunately, that's true. Now, we have a growing public network. So according to the latest data I was looking at, we now have, well, somewhere between 2,100 and 2,500 publicly accessible charge points. ESB operate nearly 1,500 of them, and there are others available. And that doesn't count chargers in hotels, GAA clubs, private car parks, other places where they might be. So they are accessible. I think about 200, I was looking for data on this, about 250 of those, Pat, are the fast chargers. But again, you know, if you're a garage on the motorway network and you have a fast charger, and I think, brilliant, I'm en route to Limerick, that'll do me. And I pull in and you have like one fast charger.
That's no good.
And there's a car plugged into it and another car waiting.
That's where Tesla got, they jumped the gun on everybody. Because if you go into a place where Tesla have a charger, they'll have, they look like a pillar. And there'll be maybe eight of them. So the likelihood of not being able to get a fast charger is minimal. If you're a Tesla driver and you can plan your routes to make sure, and Tesla will even do it for you. You know, tell you, preparing the battery for charging now as you're 20 kilometers away maybe from the charger. You drive in, it'll tell you on your phone. I don't have a Tesla. This is only from a pal who has one. You go off and get your coffee, and even while you're sipping your coffee, it tells you, fully charged. Come back.
Happy days. Now, we do have an EV in our house. It's an MG4. Beautiful car. Drives absolutely gloriously. It has yet to plug in to a public charging network.
You charge at
night at home. Now, if you go, people complain about the cost of EV charging on public networks, but you know the vast majority of charging is done at home. If we look at ours, we can fully charge that vehicle, or at least charge it up to 80%, which is what you're meant to do in normal usage. We'll do that for in the order of €15. And were we to plug in to one of the public fast chargers, €35-40, depending on the charge per kilowatt hour. So motorists tend to avoid that. I mean, imagine.
And how much would it have cost you in your previous petrol car or diesel car to get the same number of kilometres?
Actually, the saving got disappointing when diesel was so expensive a couple of years ago. But the answer to that question now is it would be about maybe €25 for the same distance in diesel, if you know what I mean. So there's definitely a per kilometre saving on the EV. It's not massive. It's not one that really informs the lifestyle choice. But the other advantages are, I mean, they're just there. It's a bit like having a Nokia brick saying, you know, this is grand. I can ring home if I need to. And then me taking that out of your hand and handing you an iPhone. I mean, it is so clearly a different and superior technology. And as I say, it clearly is the future. And they're going to get better and better. And I think the public charge network will get better and will get less relevant as time goes by. It'll get better as more and more of them sort of mushroom around the place. We put EV chargers in our car park in Dawson Street. They're going to bomb. You know, if you build them, they will come. But they will become less necessary as battery range improves. Toyota, Mercedes, they're talking about bringing models on stream that have 600 and 700 kilometre range.
Which will get you to Cork and back, irrespective of the temperature, because battery performance depends on the temperature.
Hugely.
On a warm summer's day, you get farther on your battery. It'll, you know, just more efficient.
And manufacturers can't get over it. It's in their DNA. They do tend to lie and spoof about their performance. They did so 40 years ago, talking about miles per gallon claims, and they do it now in EV range. But even if you knock off 20% for the manufacturer's spoof factor and another 20% for Irish conditions, you're still now getting genuine range, real range, that will cover most of those long distance journeys. And if you can charge at the destination, you might never need the public charging network. So it's becoming less and less of an inhibiting factor. And as I say, these things are the future.
And now, some of the comments coming in on this. In relation to your electric vehicle infrastructure piece, charge points not working when I go to use them. It doesn't seem to be as bad as it used to be. But when a charge point is down, ESP don't seem to be able to see this until they get a call from the user. For a reset, no other vehicle can be connected, which can cause a delay. Also, with the drop in electricity prices, this does not seem to be reflected at the public charge points. The price at an ultra-fast charge point seems to cost the same per kilometre as an internal combustion vehicle. Another one, there are few, if any, disability parking spaces with EV chargers. I've only ever seen one, which was in a private staff car park of a big American corporation. EV cars would be more suitable for many with disabilities, as it means they don't have to try to navigate petrol stations. People with disabilities are often the last group considered in every aspect. I've noticed, though, some of those EV parking places, There's one in a Tesco near us in Glenageary, at the station, the Dart station in Dalkey. They are big enough for disabled vehicles. You know, they're larger car parking spaces.
So they de facto, some really interesting points there. And maybe it's true that the disabled get considered last, and you know, a regrettable fact of life. But I think the cost, I haven't had a chance to look, as we used to do with petrol and diesel. And I used to always be asked by the conspiracy theorist, when the price of oil goes up, does the fuel go up straight away? Is it accurately responsive? And actually, we studied that systematically and discovered that broadly the consumer was doing okay. It was reasonably transparent. I have not done the same exercise for cost per kilowatt hour. It'd be very interesting to observe that. Now, I guess the person who installed the charge point will say, I'm providing you with the convenience. You know, here it is. You don't like it, don't plug in. But nevertheless, worth keeping an eye on whether the consumer is getting a good deal there.
Why is the M1 to Belfast so bad for chargers? They either don't work or there aren't enough of them, says one. Just back from town, not sure which town it is because Simon is in Kerry. No charger, as it was in use. However, the guy wasn't charging his car, just plugged in to go through the motions. Free parking, and the warden said he can't do anything about it.
That's pretty frustrating, isn't it?
I wonder though, because I thought the technology was going to be such that if you plugged in, and once you charged and you use your charge card, your credit card effectively, that once you were fully charged, then you were charged for parking.
And rightly and properly, because you can't just plug in your lead and think, well, that's, I'm gone for 8 hours, that'll do me for parking. It's a really antisocial behaviour. It's kind of modern equivalent of parking in the disabled spot. I mean, you're taking the mickey out of the rules. So that's pretty frustrating. But in all, if I can plug, I don't like to, but I found a really, really useful website in the Irish EV Association. Now, they describe themselves as EV evangelists, but nevertheless, it was a really good, useful resource, including a lot of the access to sort of privately owned charging networks that are listed there. And I found that a really good resource. So if I had to, I would be able to replace my old diesel with an EV, even though I do drive to Cork quite regularly. And I think I would be able to use the public charging network. But I'm deeply reluctant to do so because I don't want to be that unlucky soldier running late for a meeting, you know, with my 20-minute pit stop now going to take me at least an hour. So I think government does need to do more to provide reassurance there. But I think it's less of an inhibitor than it was. Talking to motorists, I think fear of depreciation of a current EV and having no resale value, that probably pulls people on pulls on people a little bit more than the network now.
Yeah, but your batteries have 8-year or 10-year guarantees, and
it's only a tiny proportion. And this is where pub stories get exaggerated. It's kind of 0.3% of EVs in Ireland have had a battery issue outside of a recall. And we've discussed before, recalls are entirely common in motor vehicles. You know, an internal combustion engine, that vehicle has gotten maybe 3,000 different components in it. Recalls are common, they're not a problem. And actual battery problems, they're vanishingly rare. So it shouldn't be putting people off.
Yeah, and you bring it back. Before the warranty expires, you bring it back and tell them it's only 80% working. Come on, top me up.
Now, I have heard consumer stories where that didn't work as well as it should have done. And I do know consumers who have had a battery problem and it has been a nightmare. So I'm not going to exempt manufacturers or say that sometimes the consumer doesn't get messed around. But in the round, you're no worse off in an EV than you are in an internal combustion engine from that point of view.
Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Conor Faulknin, who's a transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.